Hare
Mark,
Krishna.
everyone, for doing, who is this?
Oh, sorry, Madhi. Hare Krishna, Madhi. This is Sundaranandas. Please accept my humble obeisances. All goes to Guru Maharaj and Sri Prabhupada, Madhi.
Hare Krishna Sundarananda Prabhuji, please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj. Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for joining. And today's class is given by His Grace Pran Govinda Prabhuji. Prabhuji, please accept our humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj. Today we are reading Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Antalila, Chapter 4, 173 onwards. Please take over the call, Prabhu.
Thank you, Mata. Hare Krishna. I'd like to welcome all of you. And I appreciate that you all have taken a precious time by participating to hear about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu from Chaitanya Charitamrita. So I'm eternally indebted to Srila Prabhupada to make such a beautiful Krishna conscious society through which there are many groups all over the world, 24 hours a day, somewhere chanting and glorification is going on because of Srila Prabhupada's mercy and because of his establishing this Krishna conscious society. I'm also very much always grateful to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for his coming during at least my time that I am alive as a human being, because before Mahaprabhu came, I was there, we all were there, but and during even Mahaprabhu's time, I had no access, I don't know where I was, but very thankful to Srila Prabhupada that he has pulled me out and given such a wonderful association of the devotees in Krishna Conscious Society. So I'm eternally thankful to those devotees and Prabhupada and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu of Guru Parampara. Today is also Pashankusha Ekadashi. It's a little different Ekadashi understanding in my childhood life versus the Vaishnava, especially this Krishna conscious devotees' appreciation to Ekadashi celebration. Madhavatiti Bhakti Janani Jatane Palana Kari. So this is Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes that Madhavatiti Bhakti Janani. She is a divine mother of Bhakti. And celebrating the best way, Srila Prabhupada writes in Nectar of Devotion, Chapter 7, on Ekadashi Day, to glorify and hear about Krishna. So that's what we are doing. And you all have come to bless me and pray for me so I can say something that I heard from Prabhupada's books and different speakers that will bring us closer more to Prabhupada's lotus feet and Krishna's lotus feet. So with that blessing, I begin. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Daita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Brinda Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Daita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Brinda Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Daita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Brinda. So we are serving today Antalila Chapter 4, titled Sanatan Goswami Visits the Lord at Jagannath Puri. Something very interesting in this that, it's in the screen, so we can read it together. Let's see. অপ্রাকৃত দেহ তোমার প্রাকৃত কবু নয় তথাপি তোমার তাতে প্রাকৃত বুদ্ধি হয়। These words are very important words. If we can memorize at least few shloka in every chapter, it will remove all our doubts. And this is one of those verses that whoever selected me to speak on it must be merciful to me to think. Of course, all the slokas are very important, but this sloka is very illuminating the heart. Aprakrito deho tumar prakrito kobu noy, tathapi tumaro tate prakrito buddhi hai. Aprakrito, Srila Prabhupada writes, aprakrito means transcendental, and deho means body. Tumar, your, prakrito, material, kobu noy, it's not visible, let me see. Okay. Tomar your tate in that prakrita buddhi conception as a material. Conception as material. Hoy is. So the purport, sorry, translation and purport. First, we are going to recite the verses three times, and you can recite from the screen. Aprakrita deha tomar prakrita kobunai. Tathapi tomar tate prakrita buddhi hai. Aprakrita deha tomar prakrita kobunai. Tathapi tomar tate prakrita buddhi hai. Now, I'm sure you all are intelligent, and you can see there is a one word, aprakrita and prakrita. This is the main concept in this. Aprakrita means transcendental, and prakrita means material. So the question immediately should rise, what is material, what is spiritual? When the body is material, when the body is not material or spiritual? So let's see the translation, how Prabhupada wonderfully did it. Actually, your body is transcendental. Now, who is speaking here? Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Supreme Absolute Truth, who is the shelter of all comprehensive, all pervasive Brahman, all comprehensive, localized concept of Paramatma, and full-fledged Supreme Personality Godhead, who possesses the six opulences in complete. All these three together in this body called Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Nimai Pandit, who took sannyas and with his mother's request, he is living in Jagannath Puri. That's where he is residence now. And that one Supreme Absolute Truth, he is conversing with his intimate devotee, with Haridas Thakur and Sanatan Goswami Pad. So sometimes he is speaking to Sanatan Goswami Pad, sometimes he is speaking to Haridas Thakur, but both are there, all three are in one place. So here in this sloka, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is explaining, he's stating a fact that actually your body is transcendental, never material. You are thinking of it, however, in terms of material conception. So obviously in our mind will come, is he lying? Or is he not having a shastric drishti? Sanatana Goswami Pad does not have spiritual vision. When the shastra back up our perception, then it's called shastric drishti. We're supposed to see everything what we heard from the shastra and from pure devotee. That is called spiritual vision. Just like when we see the deity, we should not see the deity with our eye only alone. We should see the deity through the medium of ear. What we hear from Prabhupada or our acharyas, what do we hear from the scriptures? So then seeing the deity in that spiritual vision. Consciousness backing our senses. In perception of seeing, three things are there. The object to see, the process to see, and seer himself or herself. These all three together, and then what to be seen. That is the main point. So that's how the whole process works. Prema anjana charita bhakti bilo chalena. The prema of backing the eye, and the seer is seeing the object with that substance carrying the vision. Then you will be able to see as it is, the spiritual object. Now, did Sanatan Goswami Pad had this? Yes. Then why he is saying that his body is material? That should not be misunderstood as a material perception. He does not have a material perception. This is called Rasa Ashad. The Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has a plan. We'll see end of this chapter that Haridas Thakur will reveal that actually it is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu who creating this scenery so that he can relish as they are object of love. And what he sees to these two, Haridas Thakur, Sanatana Goswami, including all of us, like a children of God, just like a mother seeing a child. And this conception that how mother has a feeling, whatever child does, whether it's a, you know, child fell off and it's like a failure, but to a mother is very love. That, oh, my child is learning how to walk. Wow, she's enjoying it. So we have to see from that angle. Then we can see this scenery that how relishable for us too, by the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is relishing this. It is not a question of right or wrong, material or spiritual. It is a relishment. This is a very important. So big purport is there, beautiful purport, Prabhupada writes. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur gives his opinion about how a person completely engaged in the service of the Lord transforms his body from material to spirit, transcendental. Now, we need to touch a little bit, because even in this one paragraph, or one sentence, I would say, there's so much to discuss. But just one point, the devotion or devotional service should not be looked at in one way. In other words, I hear some echo, is it? Hare Krishna. Okay, maybe it's gone. So devotional service that when we think of devotional service, we should always remember that how Sanatana Goswami Pad and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's relishment take place, if we can remember. There are two forms of bhakti. One is called Chesta Rupa, one is Bhava Rupa. As distinguished in Nectar of Devotion, Prabhupada writes, he summarized the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. So Chesta Rupa Bhakti is external form of bhakti. And the activities you perform or we perform with our body, the senses, like 64 principal devotional principle in Nectar Devotion, I'm sure you all read that, or 9 limbs of bhakti. Yes, we perform. Those are detailed description is there. Those are important, but those are done through the senses, body, mind. The second kind of bhakti is bhavarupa, is what is going on in my heart, your heart, Sanatana Goswami Pad's heart, and the Supreme God, Lord Chaitanya's heart, the feelings. This is very important. It is not that one is important, one is not important. No, both are important. A mundane example I give you, if you come and visit, say, okay, Prabhu, I came to visit. And I say, oh, I love you. You are wonderful to see you. But you are here for 4 hours, 5 hours, 10 hours. I'm not offering you any water or food or any nice room to rest. Nothing. No bodily activities. Only word, feeling, heart. I love you. I love you. I love you. That cannot be itself called pure bhakti. See how Prabhupada translates. Bhakti means devotional service. There has to be feeling. But service also has to be done. Both. Bhavarupa, Chastarupa. So, bhakti remains incomplete without these two manifestations. We should remember. Then we can catch this chapter, the whole chapter, or entire Chaitanya Charitamrita, that way. The efforts of the senses and devotional feeling which arise in the heart and mind. Chastarupa. What is external activities? Just like, as I mentioned, just like we do, we chant, we use our body, we hold our finger on the japa beads, we're taking the japa mala, we're taking our, and we are using the mouth, vibrating. Is that bhakti or not? This is half, chastarupa only. You're endeavoring through your tongue, through your lips, through your throat, and through your finger holding the beads. Yes, that is good. But there's another part. We should always remember. Then we can see this sloka, how it is explained. Srila Prabhupada translated the word bhakti, as I mentioned, loving devotional service. Service can be done with the body, but love and devotion come from the heart, not from the body. You should remember this. The service can be done through the body, but the feeling, love, devotion comes from the heart, not the body. So many devotees will be starting process of devotional service with great enthusiasm. But then eventually they slow down. Or they kind of like even not gave up, but kind of like this sometimes happens. What is the reason? The reason is they did not develop the heart of the bhakti. Therefore, they did not relish the sweet taste of it. Chaitanya Charitamrita, in teachings of Lord Chaitanya, Prabhupada says, the Supreme Lord, who is the embodiment of transcendental condensed form of bliss, is now tasting in the mood of Srimati Radharani, who is the highest taster. Say dware achandale kit, say premodare radha nitya ekali amar madhurja prema asyade sakali. Radharani alone relished all these transcendental mellows of Krishna. Alone. Now you may say, well, what about us? What about other gopis, other bhajabashi? It is coming through her. She is the pleasure potency. Ladini dara kare bhag, ladini karai Krishna sukha asadan, ladini dara kare bhaktera posan. It is ladini potency. When you see Krishna, no Radharani means Radharani is inside, making him happy, supplying all the things. Where the sweetness coming from? From her? No. Sweetness coming from Krishna. But she has the love to feed the sweetness to Krishna. There's a technical. Radharani, Srimati Radharani has the love, highest love. And we are trying to follow her and to get that access. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to give us this. Anarpita charim chirat karunaya vati na kalau. And Krishna has the sweetness, rasabdim. He is the rasabhaisaha. All these words about Krishna means indeed he is the embodiment of all rasa, all pleasure, all happiness. So back to this, the devotee who is not tasting it, and they will eventually, what will motivate them to keep on going? Now question may come, where do we get the taste from? from those devotees who are tasting it. By the serious, sincere devotees' association, we'll get it. That is the only way. Otherwise, we'll keep on practicing as a duty, as a formality. But bhakti is not a mechanical. So of course, you may think like, well, can't I do in my own house just by yourself? Yes, you can. It's not illegal or anything, it is fine. But to make it sweeter and relishable, you have to have an association of devotees. That is important. Everything in bhakti can be done. Chanting, reading, worshipping your deities. It is possible on Ekadashi day, you're reading, you're serving. But it is only become sweet and relishable when you do things in the association of devotees. We don't worship a god without potency. We see Lord Krishna always with associate, with potency. Not like some Indian paintings or some picture. I remember in my childhood, I've seen that Krishna is standing on a globe by himself, nothing else, nothing is like that. Or the concept, even in the West, is like an old man in the sky with a, you know, it's very powerful, can be very fearful to the ordinary. No, that's not the conception proper. Proper conception is a dynamic. Krishna is dynamic. He's not stagnant. He's a dynamic. 24 hours a day, Krishna is serving the Brajavasi in relishment. And the happiness is growing and growing and growing. What do you mean growing? From where to where? It never ends. Who is going to measure? Even Krishna's incarnation, Anantashesh, is trying to measure when he will finish. It's impossible. So, unless our bhakti becomes relishable, tasty, infused with bhava, with feelings, it will not distinguish itself from material activities. I don't mean to attack you, but it is a fact. Because I come from that experience. We have an impression of sense enjoyment, sex, drugs, food, movie, you can go on, nice place. But our attraction to those will not be distinct or distinguished from spiritual experience unless we develop that taste. And we already know that material activities don't give us substantial taste. Material taste has a twofold. Prabhupada says in preface of Nectar Devotion, I mentioned this 1,000 times, I'll mention this 1,000,000 more times because this is Prabhupada's own feeling expression. No Acharya gave this. It is his, he connects us. That any taste we have in this world has a twofold. One is Chapala Sukha. You really like that relationship. Some or other it doesn't last. And you want it back. You're fighting. With that feeling I had, I want it that. It doesn't come back. It becomes stale or it's like, or even if you are not disrespecting any, you are married or a boyfriend, girlfriend, whatever relationship you have with this world, you love America or whatever, you love your business. Eventually it does not hold that spirit. You have to like fight constant to keep it that workable or enjoyable. And ultimately, of course, disease, death will disappoint you. So it's Chapala Sukha. And the second point is Bhogotego. The happiness you got, you have to work whole day to get that happiness. 20 minutes, half an hour, whatever the happiness is. And Prabhupada made that very strongly that in spiritual realm, you have an access of unlimited happiness. But this 20 minutes pleasure the karmi gets They have to work whole day like a donkey or horse, whatever the animal works so hard without intelligence. And they do in America, all over the world. People work so hard to maintain, to they'll be feeling happy. I'm not against working hard, but working hard for what? That question should arise. Whatever service, job we have, we should do it, but we need to connect with Krishna. Then we can transcend and transform. Both need to be done. So this is the point. Otherwise, human life is so rare. Human life is the only life that you can actually practice pure devotional service. Other life, their exception is there, but generally not. So unless one is associating with the devotees, one's devotional service does not mature and become distinct from material activities. Even Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in Chaitanya Chaitamrita, we see, even in this chapter, how Mahaprabhu is actually seeking their association. He's teaching us. Because in spiritual happiness is also like the gopis and Krishna. How beautiful is Krishna? Krishna is unparalleled beauty. But still, his beauty increases more when he sees the gopis. And the gopis' beauty increases when they see Krishna. So their association, even the devotee, this is how it increases. Even though he's complete, but there is no end of that completeness. It's ever increasing. Prabhupada says in 4.9.11, I remember that verse, that line, of course, said many things, that those who are given their heart to mundane activities, devotional feeling, to develop devotional feeling is very hard. And their heart is actually cold to experience spiritual taste. Otherwise, this story, the Sanatana Goswami Pad has this skin disease, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wants to embrace him. It sounds like a mundane. No, it is actually transcendental relishment. It is unfortunate that conditioned soul can never get in unless they have an association of devotee and they get into it. And those who got into it, they should progress with align with devotional principle. Then they will experience this. If we dedicate our affection and service on the dead matter in this world, when you talk about another person, it's a dead matter. Their body is a dead. They're made of matter. If we can see them as a soul, spirit, inside the body, not the body, that who has a relationship with Lord, then our vision to help them or to have their association more encouraging. Otherwise, it will be depressing. Just getting attracted by their body or bodily things, bodily beauty, everything. Because these things are made of dead matter. So Srimad Bhagavatam informs us of the remedy, that it is by being in the association of devotees, hearing the transcendental pastime, then we can enter into this mystical feeling. Every imaginable kind of success or asset of this world can never replace the taste of our pure chanting, of hearing these pastimes. Why? Because such feeling in the heart. So Krishna wants your endeavor, that is true. But more than that, Krishna wants your love, the heart of bhakti, that is important. So we go back to the reading. We finished. Let's see. He says, a pure devotee engaged in the service of Lord Krishna has no desire for his personal sense gratification. And thus he never accept anything for that purpose. He desire only the happiness of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. Now sometime we think like, you know, Alarnath temple near Jagannath Puri, the temple has many pastimes. One of the pastimes that one young boy, he wanted to offer everything, his body, his everything to the Lord. And he was doing this. He learned this from his father, but his father had a different intention, even though taught good things. But so one day he told his family that all these cooking things, we should offer everything to Krishna, not just little bit. Why not offer everything to Krishna? And his father said, no, we can't do that. Then we'll have nothing to eat. So he all of a sudden kind of like it became a little funny. Funny in a sense, in a wrong way, his teaching. The son started crying, said, no, I want to offer everything to the Lord. And then the father was very heavy. Somehow or other, he had some kind of non-devotional quality that he poured out. And he said, no, we cannot just give everything to God. Then we'll have nothing. We need also for ourselves. God has, he has his, we can give him a little bit. So then the father and son, then at that time, actually Lord appeared and told her that the whole village, everybody, because they are influenced by you and you have that kind of attitude, everything will be inundated. Within a few days will be flood and everybody will be finished because they have offense, except this boy who has such a devotion. And if you want to survive, you have to surrender through him. Otherwise, his understanding is perfect. Of course, the story goes that actually he was so stubborn, he didn't want to just surrender to his son because he thinks, I know better than my son. I can see that pride is there, false pride. So anyway, eventually the whole devastation took place. And all the villagers, they eventually suffered because of following this wrong leader, atheistic, disguised form of a Brahman. But his son was such a pure devotee. He didn't pass away. And he served the Lord. Some or other, he survived very nicely. Beside him, everything was devastated. So this is very nice. These are practical. So there, I remember Bhakti Siddhanta Thakur gave a comment on it, that actually, when we fully dedicate ourselves to Krishna, then our protection already built in there. We don't need to worry about it. And people cannot see it, so they have a doubt. But they should actually have a strong faith. That surrendering to Krishna means you're necessary already there. You do not need to worry for anything. You may ask, well, are you surrendered, Prabhu? You are speaking heavily. I'm trying. By your prayers and mercy, hope I can do it. I want to do it in this life. I want to do it as soon as possible. Not that on my own I cannot, because it's a consciousness. I'm a conscious being. Consciously, I have to make that surrender 100%. So if we think that all our protection, all our need already built in the surrender, then surrender will guide us very quick. Of course, surrender is not a one shot. Like one devotee from Australia other day, he called me and told me that there's a one group of devotees, they say the surrender is not a limbs of bhakti. I said, that's technically yes. He said, what do you mean? I said, well, limbs of bhakti is a 9 process, 64 process. Surrender is not necessarily a limbs of bhakti. Surrender brings you at the door of bhakti. Means without surrender, you cannot enter into bhakti. So proportion to your surrender, you are approaching bhakti or you are practicing bhakti. It is not a limbs, but it is the threshold at the door. Without this, you cannot enter inside the house of bhakti. Just a metaphor. But the unique beauty of surrender, it is eternal. It is not something like, Oh, I graduated from fifth grade to sixth grade. I never have to go back to fifth grade. Not like this. Means surrender is eternal also. When Krishna told the Brajavasis, close your eye, because he's going to swallow the fire. They did close their eye. They're not peeky-boo, like, let me sneak and do what he's doing, why he's telling us. No, that surrender is in our consciousness, has to be eternally, permanently. When we become pure means that dependence on Krishna is eternal. Never a chance that we will be liberated and then think, oh, now I am on my own, as a false conception. We are eternally dependent on Krishna. And it's good that we are dependent on him, because he is the eternally, eminently most lovable object you can ever imagine. Who would not be in love with Krishna? Such a good quality, such a merciful quality. Nobody is compared to like that. So dependence on Krishna's mercy, Krishna's protection is eternally there. There is never time we are on our own. And that is real freedom. That is real freedom. The freedom means, real freedom means dependence on Krishna. Okay, next slide. He desires only happiness. He desires only the happiness of the Supreme Person of Godhead, Krishna, and because of his ecstatic love for Krishna, he acts in various ways. Karmis think that the material body is an instrument for material enjoyment. And that is why they work extremely hard. A devotee, however, has no such desire. This is a very, very unique, very beautiful sentence, that it is not karmis that we think of outside. Oh, I'm now initiated. You know, I offer grain and banana in the fire. I got initiated. Now I am not karmis anymore. Not like this. Karmi means in devotee, of course, the regular definition of karmi means do something to get something. That is also karma. Yes, you can say that. But real definition of mukti, karmi, jnani is different. Just like Prabhupada quote both. Avidya karma sangyana tritiya shakti ishtate. As long as you have that ignorance that you did not make your complete surrender, that is also karma, still idea is there. So karma means so long I have a desire to enjoy separately from God. Period. That is karma. That is bhakti definition. Now, I may be initiated, but I'm still doing my own things. Okay, my relationship with Guru means 16 rounds. That's it for regularity principle. And the rest, it's my own. That means that the karma mix bhakti. It is not pure bhakti yet. Then I am on behalf of my Guru Maharaj, behalf of my Prabhupada, I am acting. I am maintaining this Krishna's family. That is pure. But if I am like a guru only in the altar, but the rest of the house is mine, and that is still karma mix. I may be initiated. That doesn't mean I'm now devotee fully. A devotee always engage wholeheartedly in the service of the Lord, forgetting about, oh, the timing, I better finish that purport. A devotee always engage wholeheartedly in the service of the Lord, forgetting about bodily conceptions and bodily activities. The body of a karmi is called material, because the karmi, being too absorbed in material activities, is always eager to enjoy material facilities. But the body of devotee who tries his best to work very hard for the satisfaction of Krishna by fully engaging in the Lord's service must be accepted as transcendental. Whereas karmis are interested only in the personal satisfaction of their senses. devotees work for the satisfaction of the Supreme Lord. Therefore, one who cannot distinguish between the devotion and ordinary karma may mistakenly consider the body of a pure devotee material. I like that. Such a beautiful way Prabhupada put it. Let's read one more time. Therefore, one who cannot distinguish between devotion and ordinary karma, what we just touched a little bit, may mistakenly consider the body of a pure devotee material. Even Prabhupada writes in the purport of Bhagavatam on third canto that those who are neophyte, so we can check ourselves. Those who are neophyte, they think, why my Guru Maharaj, why my spiritual master is like bodily sick? He's just like ordinary like us. He also suffered. Oh, Prabhupada's liver failed. That's true. Prabhupada had a toothache. That's true. But that's not the symptom to see pure devotee. Show me where it says this. I can show you where I heard the symptom of Prabhupada's book and Rupa Goswami Pad says, Skanti abhatta kalattam virakti mana sunnata asabanda samutkanta namagane sadaruchi asakti tat gunakhane priti tat basuti stale iti adya priti ankure jane. One who has these nine symptoms, they are body is spiritual and they, because they have a love for the Lord. And these are the nine symptoms. You can read in Nectar of Devotion very nicely. Prabhupada also explained. Skanti. Skanti means they are consciously aware what is going on around, so they tolerate. It's not like they are like trying to tolerate. No, they are fully aware. So they don't show their anger. But when it is required, they will. But if it's not required, they resist. They have a control over on their emotion. Abhyartha kalattam. They're never thinking how much is for me. No, abhyartha kalattam means without wasting any time, they're always busy how to extend this Krishna consciousness. How to make Krishna take over his own zone. You know, in the heart, it is not me only sitting in my heart. It is Krishna sitting there. This is his domain. Actually, this is his kingdom. We don't have to go too far. Krishna is in our heart. Sarvasya chaham ridhi sannivishta. Now, sannivishta, look at the word Sanskrit. Nivishta means I reside there. You know, residence means I live there. Krishna said, I live in your heart. Did I give my heart to him? Yes, Prabhu, you live there. You said, this is your house. So when the heart is pure, thinking, willing, feeling, Krishna will be happy. Because Krishna already claimed, your heart is my residence. What happened in that residence? Jatra gayanti mad bhakta. Tatra tishtami narada. I reside there where my devotee sings the glory. So if I am thinking of Krishna, manmana, mad bhakta, I becoming his devotee, madjaji, then I worship him. You cannot just become a devotee without thinking of him. And after becoming devotee, without becoming devotee, you cannot just worship. Anybody just cannot buy incense and take a deity from the market like I saw in Calcutta, beautiful Krishna temple, but they have no devotion, nothing. They just installed all the visitor coming because it's a beautiful marble deity. So I had a nice talk with the pujari and I said, so you are follower of your Saibai? Said, yes. I said, so how do you worship Krishna? He said, they are same. There's no difference, Shiva and Krishna. I said, which Shastra says this? I said, you want me to show you some Shastra? So I quoted him. Even Lord Shiva says, I asked him, I said, why you worship? He said, moksha, I want liberation. I said, Lord Shiva said himself in Shiva Puran, মুক্তি প্রদাতা সর্বেশম বিষ্ণুর এব ন সংশয় মুক্তি প্রদাতা সর্বেশম অনলি পার্সন ক্যান গিভ লিবারেশন ইজ বিষ্ণু অ্যান্ড নো সংশয় মিন্স নো ডাউট হোয়াট ইজ ইউর ওপিনিয়ন হি সেড দ্যাট ইজ কৃষ্ণ ভক্ত থিংস আই সেড নো নো দিস ইজ শাস্ত্র ইজ টেলিং হু ইজ ইউর অথরিটি He said, I don't want to argue. I said, not an argue, but just a common RDC discussion. How do you know you are doing following properly? How do you know it is proper? What we do, what I think, is it proper, devotional? That's why we have a devotional principles. Rupa Goswami Pad gave this, Prabhupada translated this in Nectar of Devotion, Nectar of Instruction. What I do, how I feel, what I'm thinking, is it aligned with that? Then it is devotional. If it is not aligned with it, it's commotional, material, karmic. As simple as this. So therefore, who cannot distinguish between devotion and ordinary karma may mistakenly consider the body of a pure devotee material. One who knows does not commit such a mistake. Non-devotees, now Prabhupada writes, non-devotees who consider devotional activities and ordinary material activities to be on the same level are offenders to the chanting of the transcendental holy name of the Lord. Wow. Let's read one more time that sentence. Non-devotees who consider devotional activities and ordinary material activities to be on the same level are offenders to the chanting of the transcendental holy name of the Lord. Recently, even I asked one person, say, take some prasadam in the temple. He said, no, I can't eat. They use so much sour cream. I said, what do you eat? I'm going to Subway, you know, I like the freshness. So I said, can I talk to you for a moment? I'll buy you the food. You allow me to talk. So I said, what's the difference between the prasadam and the Subway freshness? Do you see the difference? And after, of course, talking half an hour, he says, well, I guess I don't have a faith. I said, yes, you don't have a faith on the prasadam. That's why you don't see the effect. You see the bad side. Just like Prabhupada said, prasadam is always pure eternally, even if it's stale, dry, 1 month old. But if you don't have a faith, it will act wrong way. If you have a faith, it will act in a faithful way. This is very important. Natra shastram na jukti. You cannot put a logic and others. Prapti matre, how the verse goes? Prapti matre na bhaktabham. Natra kala vicharana. Sarvam Bhattacharya, he is very strict on this. But when Mahaprabhu made him devotee, he forget all these rules, regulation. He quoted this verse. He said, Prapti matrena bhuktabham. As soon as you get the mercy of the Lord in a form of prasadam, you just honor it. Have a respect that this will purify your heart. You take the food as a medicine. Prasadam, it has to be purified. Otherwise, it is not going to purify our consciousness. আহার শুদ্ধ সত্তা শুদ্ধ সত্তা শুদ্ধ ধ্রুবা স্মৃতি স্মৃতি লব্ধে সর্ব ক্রান্তি নাম মোক্ষ লব্ধ ইফ আওয়ার ইটিং হ্যাবিট ইফ আওয়ার লাইফস্টাইল ইজ নট সত্য ইজ নট গুডনেস দেন আওয়ার কনসিয়াসনেস হোয়াট উই থিঙ্ক ফিল ইজ নট গোয়িং টু বি গুড এন্ড ইফ ইট ইজ নট গুড আওয়ার লাইফ স্ট্যান্ডার্ড দেন ওয়েন উই হিয়ার Hare Krishna, Kirtan, or glory, we cannot pay attention. What did he say? My God, I missed it. What did he say last 5 minutes? I don't even remember anything. Because our attention, three things require. In Bhagavatam, Srinnata Sardaya Nittam Grinanta Sasha Chestitam Kalena Nauti Dirgana Bhagavan Vishwadevi. You will see the Lord in your heart because he will enter through the ear. Karnaranda Pathadiya. He will enter through the ear to your heart and he will manifest. But you need these three things. Shraddhaya, you have to have a faith. Nittam, you have to hear every day. Grinantasya, and you have to pay attention. But attention is not possible. Prabhupada said attention not possible to come unless our lifestyle is in sattva, is clean, pure, simple, no complication. Then attention is easy. Prabhupada gave a whole paragraph on that. So back to this. A pure devotee knows that a devotee's body, being always transcendental, is just suitable for rendering service to the Lord. A devotee is on the topmost platform of devotional service. Always humbly think that he is not rendering any devotional service. He thinks that he is poor in devotional service. That is his body, and his body is material. It's out of humility. On the other hand, those known as a sahajiyas foolishly think that their material bodies are transcendental. Now, everybody understand what sahajiya means. Sahajiya means very, somebody's putting this. Very nice. Amita Vaishnava Buddhi. Very good. Very thoughtful, whoever putting it. The sahajiya means Krishna has a two concept in our spiritual progress. God is great, God is sweet. When we emphasize greatness and reverence, it evokes our submission. We must remember that. When we focus on his sweet pastimes, oh, that Prabhu tells so nice Krishna Leela, I want to hear only Krishna Leela. But in our daily activity, the surrender symptoms are not showing. But attracted to Krishna Leela, but submission is not there. Because Krishna Leela sweetness will evoke affection. That is true. We need both submission and affection. Without submission, only affection is sahajiyajam. Very simple. A devotee on the topmost platform of devotional service always humbly think that he is not rendering any devotional service. He thinks that he is a poor in devotional service. That is, his body is material. On the other hand, those known as sahajiyas foolishly think that their material bodies are transcendental. Because of this, they are always bereft of the association of pure devotees. Thus, they cannot behave like Vaishnavas. Observing the defects of sahajiyas, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur has sung as follows in his book, Kallan Kalpataru. Very nice. Thank you for putting this song. Amita Vaishnava e buddhi haile amani na hobo ami pratishtha shashi hidaye dusibe haiva niraya gami. Nija Sesta Jani Uchista Digan Dane Kave Abhimanavar Tai Shishatavo Akiya Sarvada Nalai Bapujaka. Wherever there is a relationship of love of Godhead, the natural symptom are that the devotee does not think himself a devotee, but always think that he has not even drop of love for Krishna. Premero sabhava jaha premero sambandha sei mane Krishna mona nahi premaganda. Very nice. Very nice. That's wonderful. Wherever there is a relationship of love of Godhead, the natural symptom are that the devotee's self, but all, himself a devotee, but always think that he has not even a drop of love for Krishna. This is our Mahaprabhu. Always exhibited like that. Always exhibited like that. It's wonderful. So let's see if there is any other discussion or further comments. Otherwise, we'll go to the next verse. Any comments or question or discussion further required?
I Hare Krishna Prabhu, thank you so much. Thank you so much. It was so basically beautiful, Prabhuji.
Thank you, Mata.
Yes, Prabhuji. Please accept my humble obeisances. This is Flavia from the Atlanta area. I really enjoyed all of your lectures. This one in particular, it brought me to something that happened to me last year. And if it's okay, I would like to share.
Sure.
Very briefly, when you spoke of the example of Prashad, that is so very true. Last year in 2019, I have a very severe asthma attack, which put me in the hospital for about 2 weeks. In that time, my lungs shut down. One of my lungs collapsed, and I stopped breathing. My heart stopped for 7 minutes until they began. They worked on me, and I was able to come back. So now I have a lot of things going on, but that's not the story. The point is, the Sunday before the asthma attack, I had gone to the temple, and that particular Sunday, there was very few devotees in the temple. So they were giving away very large containers of prasadam because they didn't want it to go away to waste. So I love prasadam. I was not proficient in doing boka at that time. So I was so happy. And I took the prasadam and two large, I guess there's the plain yogurt containers. And when, so they had been in the refrigerator. I'm eating the slowly for about 2 days. And then I had the attack. I was in the hospital again, like I said, 2 weeks. My family did not put this in the freezer for me. When I came out of the hospital, all I could think is, I just want prasadam. I want prasadam. I want prasadam. And I started eating it. It was just fresher than the day I first tasted at the temple. I don't know how this could be. And they said, no, you shouldn't eat it because it's been, we never put it in the freezer. We should have thrown it out. And I said, no, this is all I want. And I ate that until it was completely gone, maybe for 4 or 5 days. I had enough. And I didn't, it was so fresh. And I began to feel rejuvenated in it. There's no limits to Lord Krishna. And I'm so grateful. It's just, and when you said that, I said, you know, this is so true. Prasadam is always better than anything. Anything. And I had to share that because it actually happened to me. How could prasadam stay good for, you know, 14 to 20 days because I was in the hospital? And it did. My refrigerator is 18 years old. It stays cold, but it's not a new one. It was perfect prasadam. So
very good. Thank you.
I'm so grateful. Thank you so much for bringing this up because it's so true.
Because you have a faith, and maintain that faith and increase and try to give that faith to others too. Very nice. Thank you, Mata.
Thank you, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Any other? Yes.
Thank you so much, Mataji, for sharing. Hope we can develop that faith. Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for bringing so many points. Especially, I like the point how we have to use this body in the service of the Lord. I mean, saying, I love you, I like you, means it's totally different. But, Prabhuji, the bhav. Abhav means that it comes from the heart, you said, yes?
Bhav is the real spiritual wealth every living entity has in their heart. But how do I word it so make it very clear that This is something every soul eternally has within their heart. And the whole process of our bhakti in the beginning, sadhana or practicing, just to awaken that bhav. It will become prem. It is the same substance, but in the preliminary stage, it is called bhava. Bhava is within us, but without sanction of Krishna, it will never be awakened. And if you say, what is that means? If we have it within our heart, why can't we wake up on our own? Why Krishna has to sanction it? Because that bhav is so powerful that actually you can, once you, that bhav or preliminary stage of prem awaken in your heart, you actually control Krishna. You have access, everything Krishna, unlimited. Some mundane example I can use, like if some stranger comes to your door, said, I don't have any place to live. I want to live in your house. And you don't know this person. And you heard the news 2 days back that some homeless is going to take shelter, and after a few days he steals everything and run away. And you hear all these things. Oh, he's a rapist. Oh, he's a murderer. So many things. And some stranger just came at the door. How do you feel to welcome him, to give him a shelter? Or instead, you'll get scared. Ask yourself, honestly. Similarly, when we want to go back to Krishna and Krishna to sanction this bhav, Maya Devi has to test. The test has to be there. That's why challenges come. Whether we have a genuine love for Krishna, genuine interest to serve him, or we have some, well, if I become a pure devotee, then everybody will like me and I can control things. These are like unnecessary things lingering in the heart. So Krishna doesn't sanction. Krishna will sanction the moment we understand the pure form of that bhav and submit ourselves. I don't want anything. I just want only devotional service. Whatever my Gurudev says, whatever Prabhupada said, I'm just going to carry on. And Krishna will sanction that time. So it is within us, but we don't have access. But without our endeavor, it will never draw attention of Krishna. If you look at that verse, 11.33 in Bhagavad Gita, tasmattam uttishtato jaso labhasya jitta satru bhungsha rajyam samriddhim mayeva ete nihata purvam eva nimitta matra bhavasabhasachi. And Krishna told to Arjuna, you please get up, prepare to fight, win the glory. We can relate. This is also for us. Krishna is teaching through Arjuna. Conquer your enemies. This lust, greed, anger, madness, illusion, envy. Those things are our real enemy. And we need to conquer those enemies. Then we can enjoy the spiritual kingdom. But Krishna says very secret there on the third line, fourth line. He said, I already put all those soldier armies, 640 million that gathered on this battlefield, want to kill each other. I already put them to death. Means they are not going to be alive. They are already dead. By my own arrangement. Mayeva yete nihata. Nihata means killed. Purvam, previously. when Draupadi was insulted at that time, Prabhupada gives a story about it. So then point comes, then what is the need of Arjuna to kill or fight? For Arjuna to experience this, that Krishna's plan is that everybody will be dead because they offended a pure devotee. But Arjuna has to act as an instrument. Arjuna has to act as an instrument. And it is not that easy. Krishna already has the result. What he is seeking from Arjuna is his endeavor, willingness to align with Krishna. Yes, I will fight for you, whatever you want me to do. Otherwise, some people think Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita to pursue Arjuna to fight, to establish duty, religion. However, this verse reveals that actually opponents of dharma were already neutralized by Krishna's arrangement. Maeva ete nihata purvameta. This verse, that line, word, saying that Krishna already did. Arjuna does not need to kill anybody, already put. Then why Krishna is asking Arjuna to fight? If Krishna beforehand secured the result, why did he speak Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna? Because he wanted to instruct Arjuna and through Arjuna, all of us, about the art of working in devotional consciousness. This Chaitanya Charitamrita explains same principle, Sanatana Goswami with Lord Chaitanya. Same thing, Arjuna to Krishna. That the result of our work are not solely in our own hand. They are shaped by factors beyond our control. Like what? For an example, when we desire a particular result, Krishna can arrange for it by his omnipotence. He does not need our help or Arjuna's help for that. But we need a connection to connect with him if we are to realize our longing for lasting love and joy as a eternal parts. This is the key point. Deep down in your heart, if you ask yourself, what do you want? You want a joyful all the time, that existence. You want to feel love and you want to offer love. So when we come to that conclusion that we have access through bhakti, that we can connect with him. But how do we connect? By working in a mood of loving service to him and offering him our thinking, willing, feeling, and our bodily activities, endeavor. How? On his behalf, we should always remember, on his behalf, how he wants, Rupa Goswami Pad explains how Krishna wants, how Lord Chaitanya wants, then we follow this. Like when we get up for Mangalarti or before to chant, it is for the pleasure of Prabhupada, pleasure of Rupa Goswami, pleasure of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. For their pleasure, we are sacrificing. Means we are voluntarily choosing, even though body will demand, come on, you're tired, need to go to a little more rest. No, I'm going to get up and chant. So if we are too attached to the result, then failing to get it will make us depressed. Getting it may make us elated, but only temporarily, because everything material is temporary. And overall, craving for the result will keep us agitated. Materially, we see this all the time. Instead, if we understand that Krishna wants us more than the result, then we will strive diligently to offer him the result to express our devotion. Even if the result does not work out, still our endeavor itself will please him. Whether the 640 million will be killed or not, Krishna is omnipotent. Just by thinking, he can just put them to death. And he did. But he's asking Arjuna to act as the instrument. That's exactly what he wants from us also. He will reciprocate by revealing his all attractiveness, thereby increasing our attraction for him. The resulting divine absorption will provide us security, satisfaction in both failure and success. Other day we were talking, the Jatayu materially failed, but he never failed. Lord Ram himself assured and exhibited this. So in material world, in our endeavor, even during bhakti, we don't need to worry whether we'll be success or failure. What Krishna is looking from us is endeavor, that we are trying to serve him in a pure state. We are trying to go back to this pure goodness, to spiritual world, to serve him. We're trying to invite the Lord and make our heart. That endeavor, that's all he wants. That willingness, Karishye Vachanam Tava, as Arjuna said at the end, 73, 1873. Nasta Mahasmiti Labdha Prasadat Mayachyate Sthitashmi Gata Sandeha Karishye Vachanam Tava. Of course, there is a key point given also, and so long we have a doubts, we cannot make it completely surrender. So association of devotee, discussion of in the Harikatha means we have to remove all our unwanted, unnecessary doubts. I think in 8th chapter Bhagavad Gita, 2nd verse, Prabhupada said, the doubts are like a demon. And Arjuna addressed Krishna as a Madhusudan because he is the killer of Madhu demon. It was a very nice analogy Prabhupada put. He said that we should not maintain our devotional life with the doubts. Whenever we have a doubt, we should remove the doubt immediately. How? By taking shelter of pure devotees, sincere devotees, association, asking them questions by the help of Krishna, because Krishna is expert. By chanting holy name, those doubts eventually remove. And then we'll see, we'll be situated just like Arjuna's final conclusion. Karishye Vachanam Tava. I'll completely surrender, aligned with your plan. Whatever you want, my Lord. Then we'll be eternally happy. The Lord will be happy. Everybody else will be happy. The family, neighbors, everybody will be happy. So I hope that answers some.
Yes, thank you so much, Prabhuji. Yes.
Any other discussion? Thank you.
Thank you so much, Prabhuji. That was very deep and insightful. Very nice answer. Thank you, Prabhuji. Thank you for your association.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Thank you for the class. Yes, it was very thought-provoking. I had a question about when you were talking about the fact that love comes from, through Radharani, like when love is offered to Krishna, you're saying she's not the source of it, it comes from Krishna. That part I think I need a little bit of clarification about, because of the fact that, you know, Radharani is the embodiment of devotion to Krishna. Yeah. And they are, in one sense, non-different. So can you just clarify that part? Do you know what I'm talking about?
I'll try. Radharani is the embodiment of love. Her main asset is love. Krishna, she has love. Krishna, on other hand, is the embodiment of rasa, sweetness. Radharani relishes all Krishna's sweetness by her love. And anybody wants to experience that pure happiness, blissful sweetness, they have to take shelter of Radharani. And this is what our Guru Parampara is. Interestingly, Hamsudut Maharaj, he passed away recently, I think a couple of months back. He asked Prabhupada, is it your Guru Maharaj is serving Manjari? I think I mentioned this before. It was very interesting. Prabhupada said, we don't need to think about this. These are high topics. But then if you hear, you need to ask. So I'm glad you asked that question. And then Prabhupada said, yes. That Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur is a Manjari and he's serving the Manjaris. Who are the Manjaris? Intimate associate of Radharani. So from that angle, we can look at it that this Guru Parampara, anybody came and connect, they are eligible to taste that Sevananda, blissful experience of serving, loving serving, because they have love through their Guru, through Guru Parampara, from Srimati Radharani. We need three things in our spiritual life. We are also measuring everything through three things. Sat, Chit, Ananda. Sat, predominating deity is Balaram. This is what pure existence, where everything is pure, no contamination, undisturbed. No insecurity. It's always stability. When they are connected, they will feel within. Then chit. Chit manifests as a material knowledge. Then Brahmananda, Brahma Gyan. When liberated, you get the Brahma Gyan. Then in spiritual world is the relationship and feelings. These two comes from chit potency. And Krishna is the predominating deity of that. Means from with Krishna, actually all the relationship eternally exists. All the feelings with that. And then Ananda, bliss, that Radharani is the predominating deity. So all this Sachidananda means Radha, Krishna and Balaram. This is what Vrindavan means, Golok Vrindavan means. One lecture Prabhupada very clearly says. Of course, you don't see an altar with Radha, Krishna and Balaram because they have different manifestation. Generally, you have a Radha, Krishna and then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Prabhupada also in the beginning of ISKCON, we had a Radha, Krishna and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But then when Prabhupada saw, he expressed this, when Prabhupada saw that the contamination of Kali Yuga is so deep, this Radha Krishna Mahaprabhu is not enough. So he installed Nityananda Prabhu also. He said, without his mercy, not possible. Time, place, circumstance, Prabhupada gave that. So back to your question, Radharani is the embodiment of pure bhakti, devotion, and she has pure love. She has a one-pointed love for Krishna. Krishna doesn't have a one-pointed love. Because he loves everybody, all creation, all gopis, all creation, even material world. Otherwise, why would he come here? Because he cares for us. He has a protection shield for us. It is us we are not holding tightly. You know, while you are, Prabhupada gave the lecture in outside the temple in Mauritius. And he says, Guru comes and throw a rope. And disciples or the souls on the well, deep dark well, if they cannot hold on to the rope, Guru can be very powerful but won't be able to pull them up. So when Guru said chant 60 nouns, follow four regulative principles. Those are the ropes. We have to hold it tightly. Then Guru will pull us out. And we'll have that access to taste. And Krishna is the embodiment of all sweetness, four sweetness especially. Venu Madhuri, Rupa Madhuri, Lila Madhuri, and Prema Madhuri. This four sweetness is with Krishna. So that's why there is a competition for each other.
A competition?
Competition.
Between what?
This is a love war. Love fight. Okay. More Krishna is happy, more Radharani is happy. More Radharani is happy, more Krishna is happy. And they want to serve each other. And this service will never stop. It's eternal, dynamic. That's why Mahaprabhu says,
Vardhanam.
Oh boy.
Sorry?
I don't know, Prabhu, some interruption.
I'm saying Mahaprabhu gave us that access, that every step we can relish unlimited happiness. And you can hear Prabhupada give that lecture. He said, every ocean has a shore and the bottom. But bhakti, relishment, shore, bhakti, ocean, has no shore, no bottom. This is unimaginable because we never see an ocean like that. How much happiness? There's no end of it. You can drown, you can swim, you can dive. That's how Prabhupada explains. The ocean of nectar.
So you were saying that Radharani is the embodiment of love for Krishna, but Krishna is the embodiment of the sweet relationships, right?
Sweetness, four sweetness. The Prema Madhuri, Rupa Madhuri, Venu Madhuri, the flute. Flute is not just a bamboo, even though we say like that. It's actually flute is a manifestation of our relationship, personification, sambit potency. It appears like a regular flute. And the flute is also, the sound, klim, is also our Gayatri Mantra. Also chanting Hare Krishna means we are hearing flute. But the gopis, when they hear flute, they're completely lost. Their heart is stolen. When I chant, it is not happening. Why? Because it is not a pure form coming. Pure sound is coming. When pure sound comes, we'll also experience that same thing. And this is what the sadhan bhakti right now is, that we want to achieve that position. Not by our own, but by the mercy of, we're looking for mercy.
The flute represents our relationship, our unique relationship with Krishna.
Yes, while we chant. Chanting Hare Krishna is the sound of flute, actually. Prabhupada said just like that.
Mm-hmm.
Just like Srimati Radharani, she never looks at another man forever. That is true. But she sometimes looks at conditioned souls because they are such a deplorable situation. You see in the altar, Radharani is looking at conditioned soul. But conditioned soul is not interested to come. Only few comes. Majority have no time, no interest. So that's their mercy. Their mercy is unlimited. But our conditioning is also making us suffer. We are not interested. That verse says, Durdaibam. Idrisham, that I'm so unfortunate, I have no interest, no attraction for this. That's how Prabhupada puts it. Namna makari bahuda nijasarva sakti tatrar pitani amita smarane nakala etadrishi tabukripa bhagavan mama durdaivam idrisham yajani nanurag. I'm so unfortunate that I have no attraction for chanting more. That's why in the beginning of our chanting, it seems like artificial. Because it is a physical level. But the holy name is not a physical sound. Holy name is never a physical sound. It is a transcendental supreme personality of God. So when service attitude and under guidance are accepted both, then we can pursue an approach that's supreme absolute in a sound form manifest in our heart. Atho Sri Krishna Nama Adina Bhavet Grajjamindi Seva Unmukhi Jibbado Swayame Vaspurati Adho Seva Unmukhi. I want to serve. I really have a genuine interest to serve the Lord. When I have that attitude and it's favorable, no other intention. What intention do you want to serve? I want to serve, so I want to please him. So he will be pleased. When he's pleased, what do you want? No, I just want to please him, that's all. In the beginning, it sounds like very difficult. It sounds like some word. I don't feel like that. But we have to keep on going under guidance of advanced devotee guru. Then we'll come to a point from physical to mental, subtlest concept, soul. That's who I am. When I come to that level and we chant the name even once, that time, we will feel longing. It is innate. Longing is innate for it is a, every soul will feel separation from the Lord. They don't want to live separately from God. At that time, we'll realize the indestructibility of spiritual reality. And at that time, the so-called material existence insecurity can inflict us at material level, but we can relish Krishna's security, divine security, joyful experience in bhakti in Krishna.
When we chant with that exclusive desire for Krishna's service from the heart, would you say that that also is Krishna's flute or no?
We don't know what will, we should not be so much interested to please Krishna or not please Krishna. Prabhupada said we should be interested what pleases Krishna. So Krishna says, Naham ijja prajati bam tapasa upasamenava guru susraya jata tusseham. I'm very happy if you are strictly following your guru. Whether I'm a good brahmachari or a good grihastha, in that verse he says, I'm not interested so much, Krishna says. I'm interested that you are strictly obedient and following, trying to please your guru. That will attract me, Krishna says that. So we can find those verses, what pleases him.
Right. I mean, that sounds like, that sounds not so different from wanting to please Krishna.
That doesn't sound, I'm sorry?
I'm not getting the subtle difference you're making between wanting to please Krishna and I don't even know what the other one was. Sounds so similar.
Other one is what pleases Krishna.
Pleasing what Krishna means
Krishna, what, how I am going to please Krishna is different than what pleases Krishna.
Yeah, what's the difference?
The difference is Krishna says, "Naham ijja prajati bham tapasya upasana vai." Just an example, one thing I'm saying. The Krishna says, "I'm not interested how good brahmachari you are, how good vanaprastha or grihastha or sannyas. You can go on. Okay, I'm very strict. I'm not going to spay or waste my time. This, that." He says, "If you are pleasing your guru said, go out and do this." No, without intervening our own intelligence. Our intelligence should guide us to focus following Guru's instruction, not divert us. For an example, I think maybe I said, you know, a funny, dirty example, that they, but it's a true story, that Guru gave 5 rupees to one disciple. He said, buy 4 rasgulla. I think I mentioned that story. Because it's a true story happened. And the disciple, he went to market 5 kilometers. And when he went there, he bought 4 rasgulla. And then while he's coming back, walking back 5 kilometers, it takes some time. He's thinking, Guru said, buy tasty, juicy rasgulla. How do I know what is tasty and juicy? Let me taste one. So he bought 4, he's coming back for Guru to offer to Krishna. He took one. But some or other, he swallowed it too fast. He said, oh, I should have taken a bite and tasted it slowly. He's not thinking exactly properly. This is not devotional quality. Seems like he has a good heart. He's trying to follow his guru's instruction. Not really, if you really think. I'll end the story and then you'll tell me. So he said, let me take the another rasgulla and bite it slowly and see if it is tasty, juicy, what Guru wants. So he's doing it slowly, slowly. Yes, yes, it is tasty and juicy. Very good. Now Gurudev will be happy. But the rasgulla was so tasty, on the way he's thinking, another point. Every time I buy something to give to Gurudev and he offers to the deity, and when the offering comes back, Krishna takes it and he refills again. When he gets it, he takes half for himself, Gurudev, and half he gives to me. Why I want to give him troubles for this? I'll take my half now. So he took the third one. So finally he came to Gurudev and Gurudev looked at it. I gave you money for 4 rasgulla. It's only one. How did you do it? So Gurudev, there's a long story. I was trying to follow his instruction. And you ate 3? How did you eat? He took the number 4. He said, like this. He put it in his mouth. Now Guru asked him, how did you eat? He shown him. Now, what is your explanation? This is a following Guru instruction.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, well, he was contaminated by selfish desire in trying to follow instruction.
I am so happy that you caught the point. Yes. Even in the service, what attracts Krishna, Krishna says, pleasing Guru, doesn't mean I'm pleasing Guru. So long I have a self-interest. I'm very happy that you caught the point. That so long we have a self-interest in bhakti path, even I'm chanting, what I'm trying to, well, I'm trying to show that I'm a good chanter. That is not the purpose of chanting. Well, I'm serious, but that's not the purpose for others to see whether you're serious or not. It is your intention that you want to be serious to please Krishna, Guru. Other doesn't have to notice. I'm a good singer. Did everybody dance when I sing? These are not the symptom. There's a self-interest what bothers. And who can purify that? Association can purify, but until I want to purify, it will never get pure. I want to get rid of my false ego, this false prestige, false self-interest. Then, yes, it will please Krishna for sure. It's not that easy. Saying is easy for me. Difficult. When someone say, you're not doing a good service, you need to clean very nicely. I think, I'm so good cleaner. Why he thinks that? He doesn't understand. He doesn't probably know, or she doesn't. You know, we always judge, judgmental or sentimental. But transcendental is different than judgmental and sentimental. We have to be transcendent. Then yes, we will experience that, Krishna's love. I hope that clears up.
Well, so you're saying that we shouldn't, I mean, the words that you said, I'm just being a parrot right now, or trying to be a parrot, is that we shouldn't be trying to please, I think we shouldn't even be trying to please Guru, we should be just trying to follow his instructions. Is that how you put it?
Because it pleases Krishna the most.
But we want to please Krishna by pleasing Guru.
Because
pleasing Guru means following his instructions.
Correct. Without selfish interest.
Yeah. Yeah, anyway.
This is a very touchy subject. Very touchy subject, because it's like an inner operation. Not necessarily everybody will be ready. Not necessarily I'm ready to clean up the heart. It's very hard, difficult. I know practical experience. I tell you something very practically in our temple here. One devotee expressed, he said, I don't feel happy when somebody else sing. When I sing, I feel happy. What is your explanation?
Yeah, because he wants the glory.
Simply. It is very hard to give this three letter, P-A-D, PAD. Prestige, adoration, distinction. Labha, puja, pratishta. Very difficult. But is it possible to give up? Yes. By identifying self always as a servant of my spiritual master and trying to please him. Then separatism will disappear. Then everything for Krishna's pleasure through Guru. Then automatically these three things will disappear. Then the six enemy automatically will be defeated. Because six enemy is a manifestation of this three, pad. And pad manifestation of this separate existence. Pitak satta. So cause and effect, cause and effect, cause and effect. Like that. But without higher taste, if we artificially try to get rid of it, difficult. So in the beginning, we need austerity, that whether we like or not, we are going to just follow Guru's instruction with intelligence, not without intelligence. So that is important.
Okay, Guru. I mean, I hesitate to say that because I'm conscious of the time. Not because I don't have, but, you know, I know the Sangha members might be wanting to go. But unfortunately, you know, although you said so many wonderful things in the process of trying to answer my original question, I have to admit that, you know, I still wouldn't be able to say what is the difference between, you know, the fact that, you know, Radharani, is like, what is, you know, I wouldn't be able to say what is wrong with saying that love comes from Radharani, who yes. is the embodiment of love itself. You know, I wouldn't be able to say why that is a wrong statement. But, you know, I know I'm just in anxiety because I know that the Sangha members must be thinking, how long is she going to talk? So
maybe I can request you to read Chaitanya Charitamrita Adilila chapter 4. Very nice, Prabhupada's purport. Very nicely explain those things.
Mm-hmm.
When you have time. But in general, we say in a short way that Radharani is embodiment of love and Krishna is embodiment of madhu, or sweetness.
You know, love is sweetness also.
Yes, inseparable, but there is a distinction. The subject and subjective are not same, but they are interrelated. Radha Krishna are eternally one and at the same time eternally two. In tattvagata vichar, consideration of truth, Krishna is higher. Krishna is supreme absolute truth. Radharani yeah. cannot claim, I am the shelter of my own.
Yeah.
But Krishna right. is the shelter of his own.
Mm-hmm.
And Radharani is his shelter. Radharani shelter in Krishna. Radharani doesn't have a separate shelter. But Krishna can claim that he is by himself, for himself, of himself. Yes. Nobody else can. Even yeah. Balaram.
Mm-hmm.
Even Narayan. No, nobody. Krishna ek sarvasray, Krishna sarvadham, Krishna sarirya sarva vishra visram. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave those slokas to prove that point. Krishna ek sarvasray, Krishna sarvadham. Everything, anything that exists, everything is Krishna's body, himself, is the holder, inconceivable. But at the same time, in Rasagata Vichar, consideration of transcendental mellow, Krishna gave Radharani's position higher than his position. But then there is a misunderstanding. They think that because there is a expression of Raghunath Das Goswami sometime, you know, with the buttermilk he threw away because it came from Shakya stall. We have to be very careful. Immature grasping things could damage our bhakti lata. Why? Because Raghunath Das Goswami expressed that is true. But in the beginning of that whole series of Vilas Kusumanjali book that he wrote, first look up, he prays the dust, the bugs, the creeper, everything in Vrindavan. He completely submits, surrender. We don't have to jump 64 bars or 81 number bars where he separately see Radharani's group, he's not in Chandavali's group and he makes this promotion. We have to be careful. What about the first verse? We have to us, every, even the dust of Vrindavan is object of worship. They are eternal associate of the Lord. Dust is not a dust of this world. Dust is pre-deposited with eternity, cognizant. And more, when Krishna walks, Krishna never walks with shoes. Krishna walks on bare feet. The dust comes in contact with the Lord's soul. They become so ecstatic. They can't even resist themselves on the floor. They go make it like a dusty. They go in the sky, try to serve. They serve Mother Yashoda. Your son is there. Mother Yashoda cannot bear separation sometime, Rupa Goswami Pad writes. She comes out. I wonder how is my son doing, where? And then she sees in the cloud far. Oh, there is a dusty cloud. Oh, my son is playing there with the children. Okay, that's, she feels happy. So the dust even serving, everybody is in service mood, Vrindavan. To become dust is the biggest fortune. But then if we don't understand this tattva, then we may fight I want to be gopi. No, no, I want to be a coward boy. No, no, I don't want to be monkey. I want to be. This is immature discussion. Because at the mature stage, Prabhupada says, our relationship with the Lord will be revealed, our form. We don't need to artificially imagine that.
It seems like mundane consciousness too, to see.
Yeah, but it's attractive. People like imagination. We're doing it for a million lives. Okay, let's see if there is any other comment, question, otherwise we'll close.
I really just had to ask, maybe there's somebody else who has a question, but I just really had to make a very quick thing about the prasadam, faith in prasadam.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I know that, the story of Bhagavanath Das Goswami is there where he could eat rancid rice, no problem, But we as devotees, even if we have faith in prasadam, if we smell the prasadam has gone sour, does that mean that if we do not want to take that prasadam, it's because we don't have faith in prasadam?
It's individual.
Mm-hmm.
Faith, the word Shraddha means what your consciousness maintaining belief. What you believe, what you maintaining a belief. Obhishya rakkhibe Krishna vishwasa palon. Palon means you have to maintain. What you maintain belief,
mm-hmm,
on particular, mm-hmm, thing, that is faith.
Yeah, okay. Okay.
Thank you, Mata.
Thank you so much, Prabhu. Always hard to let you go, but I have to.
Pray for me and bless me.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji, koti koti dhanyavad pranam. Always give us lots of information, and whatever doubts is there in our mind, Prabhuji, the answer is coming from your Chaitanya Bhagavatam. Koti koti dhanyavad pranam. Srila Prabhupada, Srila Gurudev ki jai. Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Thank you so much, Prabhuji. Is there any question or comment? Otherwise, we can end the call. Yes, Prabhuji. I think we can end the call. We can pay our obeisances to Prabhuji and all the devotees. Once Kalpaturvesya Kripa Sindhu Be Evasa Patita Nama
Pabhu Namo Nama Ananta Kodi Vaishnavinda Ki Jai.
Prabhuji, thank you.